Follow Chicago's Home for Sports on Twitter at ESPN 1000. Now, back to more Fred and Xander on the all-new ESPN Chicago app.
For a while, when you hear the Blackhawks news or things with the Blackhawks, it's got nothing to do with on-the-ice happenings or trades or anything else like that. It's a couple of alleged assault lawsuits that are being brought up against the Blackhawks.
Right, and this has been a story. It started bubbling under, and it wasn't really, really well known, and then it kind of popped. And, you know, since we've learned about this, the organization has said that they hired a contracted firm to do the investigation into the background of all this alleged abuse and how everything went down. And this is going back to 2010.
Yeah, all the way back to 2010. New details have emerged about former Blackhawks video coach Bradley Aldridge's alleged sexual assault of an unnamed player who is suing the team. Aldridge also subject of a second lawsuit by a former high school hockey player he admitted to assaulting. So, yeah, it's a lot going on, and a lot of it comes down to who knew what when. And Steve Greenberg in the Sun-Times today said it's you can almost compare it to the Penn State situation.
Well, it does seem like there's an awful big cover-up going on, and it's starting to come to light. And it's, we're going to have a lot of details here.
Well, you would think somewhere along the line. And if you get a chance to read the Sun-Times yesterday, Ben Pope's article, and it's amazing what had happened allegedly. Scotty Bowman talked the other day. The other Bowman. What the hell's his name?
Stan
Bowman.
Scotty's talking now?
Yeah. He talked the other day and said basically it was the first time since the original lawsuits were filed. And he basically said he doesn't condone or tolerate harassment or assault of any kind, but he won't talk extensively about the allegations until an investigation currently being conducted by the law firm Jenner and Black into the matter concludes. We need to give the experts the necessary time and latitude to do their job well. I'm eager to speak about this in more detail in the future, but for now, I have to respect the pending litigation and independent review that's underway. I'm not going to be able to make any comments about that at this time. We have to let the process play out. Now, the one of the skills coaches with the Blackhawks, Paul Vincent, allegedly told a group of Blackhawks executives, this is from Ben Pope's article, told them.
Back in 2010.
Including then President John McDonough and current general manager Stan Bowman about the incident that happened May 17th of 2010, but the executive group allegedly refused to notify the police. The Hawks claimed in a motion to dismiss earlier this month that they had no, quote, statutory duty, unquote, to report the incident because John Doe, number one, was not a minor, not disabled, and not in a care facility. And so basically they're saying, listen, this person was an adult, and if there was a problem, they should have been able to deal with this on their own.
Right, but did they deal with it on their own?
Yeah.
That's the question.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Because for anybody who is in a management position at a company, you know, if somebody comes up to you and says, hey, you know, this person is sexually harassing me or just being harassing, you don't pick up the phone and call the police. You handle it internally. You suspend somebody, you let them go, whatever the case may be. So they did definitely have a duty to do something, but it seems, and again, all the details aren't out here, but it seems like a general cover-up.
Yeah.
And the fact that the police weren't called isn't necessarily the story here as far as I'm concerned. It's the overall cover-up, and we're just finding out about this, you know, 11 years later.
Yeah. Unbelievable. Says here, the player was allegedly subject to homophobic and humiliating trash talking related to the incident for years at hockey practices and scrimmages at which Hawks employed coaches were present, according to the lawsuit. The team, quote, permitted its players to repeatedly harass the player by calling him slur words and asking him if he wanted to engage in certain acts, according to the lawsuit. So it's as unruly and disgusting as you can imagine.
And look, if we go back as fans, right, to think of that team,
yeah,
they're heroes.
Yeah.
And to even consider that now, that was really happening?
Yeah.
Terrible.
Yeah, it really is. So, you know, more will come from that. We wanted to make sure we touched on that, despite, you know, and we did talk about the other stuff, the trade, and, you know, they had the draft last night. They drafted some guy.
Unfortunately, this story, Fred, is going to be the bigger story.
Oh, sure it is. Much bigger. Yeah.
And no matter what the Hawks do on the ice.
Yeah.
This and the resolution of this should be really interesting to follow. And we'll see if anybody has to pay for this with their jobs that are still remaining from that time. And we know that there are a few.
Yeah, there definitely are a few. Listen, if you're headed on up to American Family Field and, you know,
take
Xander's advice, get there early. But you can be sure to stop by the Mars Cheese Castle today from 2 until 4 o'clock. It's on your way up there, right there in Kenosha. Stop on up from 2 to 4 and see Adam Abdallah. That's right. He's there. Come hang out with him. You'll also get a chance to win tickets for tonight's White Sox game in Milwaukee. He'll be there between 2 and 4. Check it out. Go on up and see Abdallah. He can use a friend. he's usually with Black. This time he'll be, you know, solo.
He can use a friend.
Yeah.
He's a nice guy.
We all can use a friend. Adam's a great guy.
What's your go-to cheese? Right off the top of your head, go-to cheese.
Pepper Jack or Monterey Jack?
No, one.
Okay, Pepper Jack.
Okay, Pepper
Tyler. Mozzarella.
Mozzarella. Mine's Swiss.
Is it?
Yeah.
Swiss goes
with everything.
Swiss goes with nothing for me.
Really?
I only get Swiss if
it's Swiss is an acquired taste. I personally like it. I like it, but it is... I'm trying to think of the other polarizing food, but I guess it's kind of like tomatoes, where people either love them or hate them.
Okay.
Swiss does nothing for me.
Really?
No, I like something that's got a little spice.
Wait, have you never had corned beef and Swiss?
Yeah. It doesn't do anything for me.
Wow.
I don't know. 312-332-3776.
Check your tongue, dude. Seriously.
Your favorite cheese.
Is your tongue burnt out?
Your favorite cheese.
What's your go-to cheese?
Pepper Jack's my favorite. I love Pepper Jack cheese.
Pepper Jack is great.
Yeah.
But I have found lately, I told my wife, we do the grocery order, and she's the one that will be like, okay, what do you want? I'm just like, don't mess around. Go straight to the Swiss.
Okay.
It goes with the ham. It goes with the turkey. It goes with everything.
I'm going to tell you, I'm going to say something that Jason Benetti would say.
Go ahead.
You picking, your decision to pick Swiss has some holes in it.
Okay.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay.
No rim shot.
Benetti can use that if he'd like to tonight.
I'm sure he's listening.
So, your favorite cheese? Mine's definitely Pepper Jack. I knew a kid in high school, one of my good friends. He would, at school, he would have like a block of cheese, and between classes, he would rip off a piece and have it as he put his books in for one class, grab another one.
But that's
and go.
Pretty revolutionary back in the 60s or
whatever. Well, the 70s, because there was no string cheese back then.
And now you can buy that where you just peel it off.
Yeah.
And I have been known to take the string cheese out in the big like tube and just like bite it.
Me too.
And then it's like, no, you're taking away the fun. So I stop and I peel it.
Yeah, but it takes too long.
It depends on your hunger level.
Yeah.
Well, how intense?
My buddy, he was just cut off a
if
piece.
If you're hangry, you got to get in there.
Yeah, my buddy Larry.
Tastes better when you peel it, though.
It does.
You think it does?
It does.
When you look at it texture-wise, like the outside is I don't even know, it almost feels more silicone-y on the outside.
Right. And then
when
you
get to the
up.
Inside, it's more like pure cheese.
So when you get string cheese, you always get the one sack. Mozzarella is usually the string cheese, right?
It is.
I think so, yeah.
So, but do you ever get the ones, they have some that are like, you know.
There's like a swirl, too.
Right, there's
where
a swirl.
It's a little cheddar mozzarella swirl. Right.
Oh, I haven't seen that.
Yeah, and they're square. They're like square sticks instead of the round ones.
Yeah.
I haven't seen that.
I don't think you get the silicone-y taste or the
look the texture. Yeah.
It comes from more of a cheese thing.
Well, I'm going to have to search that out.
Yeah. So
is that available in Wisconsin only?
Oh, I'm sure. I think it's available
everywhere. It's everywhere,
yeah. But go on up to the Mars Cheese Castle. I'm sure that Abdallah's a cheese expert.
It's an elevated cheese experience
there. Yeah. And cheese is great on a lot of things. I love throwing
Swiss
cheese
on
into
a
eggs.
Hamburger. I'm throwing Swiss back in there. Swiss on a hamburger.
No.
Swiss is awesome.
It doesn't have enough taste to it, in my mind.
You
my
add
opinion.
A little salt to anything that you put Swiss
in. I don't
on.
Add just salt to anything.
See, that's a problem.
Yeah.
You can have a little, can't
I don't
you?
Add, I could. I'm fine. I don't have any numbers like that.
So, okay, but wait a minute. How do you deal with French fries? Just nothing on the French fries? No.
I never add salt to
ketchup.
Them.
No. Ketchup?
Ketchup's fine, yeah.
Okay.
I know there's salt and ketchup and stuff like that. But
there's salt in everything.
Yeah, I know. That's why you don't add anything. My family, everybody in my family puts salt on pizza. pizza has salt in the cheese. Pizza has salt in the sausage. Pizza has salt in the tomato sauce. Pizza has salt everywhere. And then they salt
When I was a kid, I did that. And in recent years, trying to just be smarter, it's like, yes, I realize that there's salt in every ingredient in pizza, so I don't.
Yeah.
It has to be super bland.
About the only thing I put salt on is vegetables. Like heated vegetables, not raw vegetables, because like I'll dip raw vegetables into a dressing or something like that. But I would never, I would use salt on like, and sometimes I use garlic salt to give it a little more flavor.
Yes.
Because just regular salt just makes it salty.
I get that.
Yeah.
I get that.
Ah, Swiss. I can't imagine many other people would say Swiss.
Really?
Yeah.
I could see it. It's a niche cheese.
Niche cheese.
Is it?
Yes.
See, I would have thought like Pepper Jack or Monterey Jack. I don't know exactly, you know, where Monterey Jack comes from.
See, I'm not putting Pepper Jack on corned beef. I'm just not doing it.
No, it wouldn't fit.
But see, this is what I'm saying. It is a versatile cheese.
No, no, no.
Swiss would go into all different directions.
I'm with Fred. I don't think it's a very versatile cheese.
No, I don't either.
I think it is sandwich or bust.
Yeah. I don't know that I would put it on much of anything else.
Like, you're not going to put Swiss cheese on pizza. You can't put it in a quesadilla. You can't put it in really
I have put it in a quesadilla. I made it work. I like it.
Well, that's an odd
quesadilla. That's weird.
that might need a little bit of saucer.
I'm trying to think when I have a corned beef sandwich. There's no Swiss involved. I don't have Swiss.
Oh, you have not lived unless you had a corned beef and Swiss.
Huh.
Come on now.
Because I'll get, like, a corned beef at Manny's or something like that. Uh-huh. I'll get half corned beef, half pastrami. But I never put
I never put cheese on it.
I don't know. Is that weird?
Yeah.
312-332-3776. White Sox lose 7-1. The Cubs winners yesterday. They're going at it again today. We talked a little bit about your mean Mercedes. There's a bunch of other stuff going on in football. A lot of the odds makers are changing their odds for wins for the Green Bay Packers because they have reports that say that their quarterback may retire next week.
And I was here last week, and Tyler remembers we were talking. It's like Hanley and I, and I said, you know what, I don't buy any of this BS. He'll be back to play.
Yeah.
And as soon as I say that, we start, and that's the way it's gone, right? It's flip-flop back and forth. There's been evidence either way for months now.
Yeah, we'll talk about it when we come back. There's more football stuff out there about with COVID and people taking the vaccinations and not taking them and what the punishment will be for some teams. We'll discuss all that when we come back. 312-332-3776 here on ESPN 1000.
Follow Chicago's Home for Sports on Instagram at ESPN underscore Chicago. Now, back to more Fred and Xander on ESPN 1000.
So you heard during that commercial block, I think that's what they call it, right? Commercial block.
Sure. Yeah. If you want to get super inside technical, stop set.
Yeah. So you heard that, you know, football, Bears start football practice this week, and Cap and Jay Hood are going to be out and about and things like that. So there's a lot going on as the NFL gets underway. There was a cool story about a guy, turned out to be a cool story. It was a guy got shot, and he said he wanted to live because he wanted to be able to see Justin Fields quarterback. So the Bears heard about it, and Fields and his dad went to the guy's house. And
that is fabulous.
Well, it's a great story. Yeah, very, very cool story. Guy got shot. He didn't know he was shot. He went down, and then all of a sudden the paramedics got him, and they go, oh, yeah, you got a bullet hole there. And he was in the hospital. He had to take out his spleen and some other stuff. I should have had his name. I didn't know I was going to get into this, but I saw it on TV the other day.
Right.
And it was very cool. And Fields and his dad came out to the guy's house, gave him a ball and all this stuff. And he said, yeah, you know, hopefully I'll be able to. He goes, I just want to be able to be around to live long enough to see him, see a Chicago with a really good quarterback.
So it was a serious injury if he's.
Yeah, he was in the hospital for a while.
Okay.
So, but he's out.
Okay, he's out. That's good.
He seemed to be doing okay.
Okay.
Yeah, he was standing up for an interview.
Now we just have to get Justin in there and win a game for him.
So, but if you're a Packers fan, you have no idea what's going on. Because
I know a Packers fan. He may be listening right now.
Yeah.
Well, I know one.
My buddy Larry,
really,
who
really
eats
well.
Cheese out of his locker, is a Packers fan.
my buddy has been analyzing the situation, and And he has just all but written him off. He's just done with it because there's just so much drama in the whole world of being a Packer fan.
And it's not only that.
And he's holding them hostage. The whole fan base, I'm sure, feels like they're being held hostage.
Yeah. And Davante Adams doesn't get an extension, so this could be his last year with the Green Bay Packers. Now, Las Vegas, I'm reading this right off of a story. Says Las Vegas usually knows what's going on Aaron Rodgers. Las Vegas reportedly thinks it knows what's going to happen. Now, according to SI.com, multiple sports books believe that Rodgers will announce his retirement before Wednesday's initial practice of training camp. The Westgate Superbook has closed all of its NFC North markets, including projected wins, playoff odds, division odds, and weekly lines for the four division teams.
Oh, they're waiting for the reset.
Yeah, PointsBet Sportsbook, which not long ago put the Green Bay Packers over-under win total back on the board at 9, has once again removed Green Bay from the list of 32 teams. DraftKings also has removed the Packers over-under win total, along with its Packers-related team specials. And the other teams all have theirs out there. So
you know what? I will believe it when I see it on TMZ.
Yeah.
TMZ beats everybody.
Yeah.
Seriously.
Some people are saying.
Don't you follow TMZ?
No, I don't. I don't. It says here Rodgers has kept his cards close to the vest. A retirement for 2021 would make sense, since it would help him avoid the $2 million in fines for holding out of training camp. However, he'd still lose about $6.8 million roster bonus earned in March and payable each week of the 2021 season. He also will be subject to a repayment of $11.5 million in unearned signing bonus money for 2021. Then he could unretire in 2022 with the Packers trading him and Rodgers resuming his career. So no one's 100% sure what's going to happen with that. And that's this week. I mean, ESPN has NFL Live every day.
Mm-hmm.
Like every day, Monday through Friday, there's an NFL Live you can catch. And this week, you're going to have practices. The NFL Network's going to have
wall-to-wall. Yeah. With this and the trade deadline.
Right.
Wow.
Yeah, so the Bears at practice, NFL teams at practice this week. You get the trade deadline coming up on Friday. I have no idea what's going to happen. I can't worry about what's going to happen with the Green Bay Packers. I'm more worried about what's going to happen with the Chicago Bears.
Still have to win no matter what happens.
Yeah, no matter who your quarterback is.
And now it may be easier when we play the Packers if he's not around, but we still have to win, and we have been our own worst enemy.
Yeah, the Bears have. Offensively, they've not been great. I think they're. Waddle and Sylvie were doing a thing earlier this week where I can't remember where the projections were for. I don't know if you were here, Tyler, or not.
It was the 15 most important Bears.
Not that. Okay. But they were talking about where the Bears rank in offensive skilled players. And they were like 28th on the list in the NFL, and there's 32 teams.
Yeah, that's not good.
And, you know, it was not counting quarterbacks. So it was your running backs, your wide receivers, your tight ends, things like that, the offensive weapons you have. And I guess nobody else in the country has much faith in Allen Robinson, Darnell Mooney, Cole Kmet, and David Montgomery. But I think, if, in fact, Matt Nagy will actually give the ball to David Montgomery and throw the ball to Cole Kmet, who could hold on to it a little bit better, that they will have a couple of offensive weapons that slowly but surely may move up. But also, I saw earlier this week that Justin Fields says, anytime I have a question, I go to Andy Dalton. He gives me the answers. He's with me all the time. He's always helping me out.
Well, like the on-the-job mentor.
Yeah, he's doing exactly what he's brought here to do. And
well, let's face it. Part of his role is to bring Justin up.
Yeah.
You know, and they were hoping that they would get a quarterback in the draft, and they did. So Andy's part of his gig is to mentor Justin. Yeah. You know, play, start, whatever they told you. I just love the, we haven't promised him he'll be the starter, but we told him he was the starter.
Yes.
What's the difference?
I know.
But that's part of his job, and I'm glad to hear that he's doing his job.
Yeah.
Because it doesn't strike me as Aaron Rodgers bringing up Jordan Love.
Right.
That doesn't strike me that way.
No, me neither. 312-332-3776, your thoughts on the Rodgers retirement or the Bears coming into a practice this week. Andy Reid of the Kansas City Chiefs said that 90% of the Chiefs players are vaccinated, 100% of the coaching staff. But in Minnesota, not the same. Rick Dennison out as the Vikings offensive line coach and run game coordinator after after saying that he's not going to get vaccinated. He said, I'm not vaccinated, and I'm not going to get vaccinated. So they said, okay, we're going to bring somebody else in because we need you all of our coaches to be vaccinated.
You and I on this side of the glass, Tyler over there, I'm sure, I know we did, and I'm sure Tyler did too, because I have a son his age. We all had to get vaccinated before school. We started school.
Yeah.
Or we couldn't go to school.
Right.
That's it.
Yeah.
It's not negotiable. So, and that has been the case since they came out with the polio vaccine, right?
Right.
It's been a long time. This is the same thing. Why is that? My parents never went and said, well, we don't believe in vaccines, so let my kid go to school and he's not getting vaccinated.
Yeah.
It's just something you had to do. To go to school.
Uh-huh.
And it's simple.
Yeah. But you heard what the NFL did this week. Okay. The NFL said that if a game needs to be canceled because of COVID, no games were canceled last year. They played all the games.
Right.
So basically, if any game has to be canceled because of COVID, the what players will not be paid.
What would it take to be canceled?
Yeah.
If we made it through last year.
Yeah, I know.
Okay.
That's why it was interesting that they came out and said that this week.
Right.
And you would get.
Talk about triggering people.
Nobody gets paid, not just for the team that had it, but also the team that couldn't play.
Oh, that's going to work well.
So now basically they're trying to make sure everybody who's had it.
Players union loves that.
Yeah. So it was interesting. They were just able to do that. 312-332-3776. Your thoughts about that? I know there's a lot of people out there, and I'm not going politically, okay? There are a lot of people I know out there. There are some people I know that have heart conditions or other things. They're not sure how the vaccine
and I know that there's a lot
play
of,
with them.
I brought up the whole child vaccination thing
right.
because it really was that simple, and I wish it were that simple now.
Yeah.
But there are companies, these are businesses, and they have the right to say, look, this is what you have to do to be employed here.
Yeah. And
whether you like it or not.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's within their right to do that.
It is.
And it's within somebody's right to say, I'm not going to. Look, it's a messy situation.
Yeah, it's very messy because there are a lot of the young players, there are a lot of young people who are not getting vaccinated.
Mm-hmm.
And they are saying, we don't know 100% how that's going to affect us in the long run going forward.
Right. Right.
And people that have other conditions, I can understand.
Yep.
If their doctor says, listen, we're not 100% sure how that's going to work and how it's going to be. If, in fact, you do get vaccinated, we don't know what the long-term effects are
right.
of the vaccine.
And we don't know what the coach, the Vikings, Dennison?
Dennison, yeah.
Yeah, we don't know why he said no. And it doesn't really even matter.
No.
The fact is, the Vikings dug their heels in and said, this is what you need to do. He dug his heels in. And they split.
Here's what they said. I want to make sure I had the whole thing. The NFL sent out a no-nonsense memo that was obtained by the NFL Network's Tom Pelissero. The biggest news from it was that if a team has a COVID-19 outbreak among unvaccinated players and a game cannot be rescheduled, the team is subject to forfeit the game. And if a game gets canceled because of COVID-19, none of the players from that game will get paid.
So they are tracking who is vaccinated and who's not, and they will try to make an assertion as to if this was a breakout among people who are not.
Yeah.
Even though you can get this, again,
even if you're vaccinated.
We have said this a million times, you can get this, even if you're vaccinated, it's just not as a critical a situation, possibly.
Yeah. And there are people that have gotten it after being vaccinated.
But does that make you less, are you not as subject to
transmission?
Transmission of it.
Let's go to Derek real quick at Elgin. Derek, what's up?
Hey, Derek.
Hey, man, what's going on? Hey, you know what? I just wanted to bring up something. The CDC, I thought today, just announced those rapid tests aren't even reliable anymore. So all those NFL players that were, non-symptomatic, they may not even had COVID all last year. So what do you think about that?
Just another terrible variable in this whole thing.
Yeah. Thanks, Derek.
There's no solid ground here.
No.
There's none.
Yeah. You don't know. And I always question the rapid tests, but that's just me.
Well, that was made. That was more for convenience, right?
When I got
it, was anything else?
When I got it, people wanted me to go in and get one of the rapid tests and get the results like quickly. I said, you know what? I'd rather just go in and get it and find out for sure. If it takes a couple of days, I'd like to know. And because
and that's what I'm saying. It was convenience for some. The rapid tests were, we need to know now,
right?
ASAP. So get this done. And you know what? My wife has traveled and she had to get them a few times. And she never really felt like she had it. She wasn't sick, but she got the rapid test and it returned. But I would imagine that they're, you know, the false positives.
Well, we heard Andrew Vaughn,
negatives.
Andrew Vaughn from the White Sox missed a game, a couple of games earlier this year because of a false positive.
Yep.
And that happens, unfortunately. While the NFL, this is more from the article, while the NFL has not mandated players or coaches get vaccinated, the message all along has been clear. It has already prepared to make life much harder for those who remained unvaccinated, and now there are penalties associated with unvaccinated outbreaks. So we know, too, you know, with baseball and with teams that have not reached the 85%, there are certain things that can't be done.
Right.
And
protocols they have to stick to, while the other teams who have don't have to.
We'll talk about that when we come back. Also, we come back. Our ESPN 1000 broadcast team has been on the road for a while. Jason Benetti and Steve Stone have not been on the road at all.
Right.
Boog Shambi and Jim DeShays were in St. Louis, and they've been in Milwaukee before, but that's it so far.
Mm.
So we come back. Has the broadcasting, in your mind, been affected by these broadcast teams, certain broadcast teams, not being able to go on the road? Let us know what you think. We'll talk about it when we come back. 312-332-3776 here on ESPN 1000.
Fred and Xander
on ESPN 1000. Also available on demand on the all-new ESPN Chicago app.
So, a lot of broadcast teams not making trips. The White Sox radio guys, right here on ESPN 1000, have been traveling for a couple of weeks now.
Right. It's really almost maybe even a month.
Yeah.
It's really the TV side.
Yeah. And TV usually has a few more people, you know, and you need to show the broadcast booth, and you got to have cameramen up there, and you got to do a bunch of other things.
Yeah, but you can actually rely a lot of times in these markets. You go to a market, and they have a team that takes care of the away broadcast,
right.
You know,
yeah.
For you. That's there in that market. Now, I think that the idea that they're not traveling may be something to do with, you know, Marquee Network or NBC Sports Chicago. You know, they're kind of, it's their rules.
Yeah. And their rules may be just to save money. Okay.
Well, then there's that. And Brian and I actually talked about that last
week. One of the reasons it came up, and it always comes up, and I've heard about it throughout the course of the last couple of weeks and maybe even more than that, because, you know, Benetti and Stone are doing the games from, you know, Guaranteed Rate Field. And on the other radio side, Pat Hughes and Ron Coomer are doing their games from Wrigley Field. They're not traveling. They're not traveling.
More inconsistent.
It really affected a call from Boog Shambi a week ago.
Hey, here's our Toyota home run replay brought to you by Toyota, official vehicle of the Chicago Cubs. If you didn't see Wilson Contreras go deep, like me, this is what it looked like.
So, yeah, that can happen. And sometimes a replay could be going on, and a guy might jump on the replay and think it's actual, you know, an actual play that's happening. But this is just me, and you may disagree with me, and it happens on a daily basis, almost minute-by-minute basis, people disagree with me. But when I'm listening to a game, it doesn't matter to me if the people are at the stadium or not, because I've watched soccer long enough, and the World Cups in soccer for decades were done in the studio at ESPN.
I had no idea.
Oh, for the longest time, they did some games. They did games from there. They wouldn't go.
And why was that?
Travel, saving money, make it easier. You got cameras. You're reporting on what's going on with the ball.
As I remember our discussion last week, you know, it was said, and I can't remember who said this. It was in an article that was written, but you know, there's not a money saving, but it has to be.
Yeah,
in some of these instances,
right?
Or if not all,
yeah.
It has to be.
Especially now, at this point with most people vaccinated, or a good percentage of people vaccinated.
Right.
The broadcasters likely vaccinated.
I would
people
like
working
to think we've had the worst part of the pandemic is behind us.
We'd like to think that.
Right.
Yeah.
I agree with you, except when something goes wrong. That's when we notice. Like Boog.
Well,
there.
Or
even going back to, and we were talking about this off air, during the hockey season, Foley and Olchek would get so frustrated because they wanted to show something.
Yeah.
They were almost calling to the truck on a live broadcast saying, can we see this replay, please?
Yeah. And a lot of times they didn't have it. It wasn't there for
right,
them to see.
Right.
Yeah.
So, and that doesn't happen if you are in a live situation.
Yeah. Well, there are times when you're watching a game live where they may miss something too. And Boog Sciampi talked about it there, but it also happened earlier this season here on ESPN 1000.
Swing and a miss by. Oh, that was a replay.
Yep.
Got me. Swing. Ball one on Grandal.
Well, it's hard to have one eye on the read and the other on the monitor unless you've got those special eyes that can do two things at once.
Grandpa Casper.
Doesn't everybody have those special eyes that can do two things at once? I think we all have those.
Marty Feldman had them, didn't he?
Yeah.
He was the one that could, character in the guy that held up his eyes. He was like in a cartoon, like... never mind. I'm having a flashback.
Yes, you are.
Yeah,
acid flashback, I think.
Maybe so. But yeah, that's really hard, and that's funny. That's the only way you can handle something like that is to have a little fun.
Yeah.
Bring people into the background.
Yeah.
Break down the fourth wall, as they say.
I told the story about this before when I was younger. The Blackhawks games, they'd have West Coast games. There'd be a late night TV broadcast that started at 9 o'clock. And I'm up watching the game, and my dad's falling asleep in the easy chair and stuff like that. So after the first period, the Hawks are up 1-0. Dennis Hull scored a goal or something. And between periods, they're showing the replays. And all of a sudden, there's a replay on, and my dad goes, goal! I said, yeah, it was in the first period. You missed it.
And then he's like, I'm not sleeping.
Yeah, of course.
I'm not sleeping.
Rest of my eyes. It happens to more announcers than just Boog Sciampi and Len Casper. John Sterling from the Yankees happened to him, too.
Now, here's Judge. Man, the breaking ball is hit in the air to deep left. That ball is high. It is far. It is gone. Unfortunately, that was a replay of the home run, but it was a good replay. Hey, I'm sorry. It's on the monitor. What am I supposed to do?
This is a great way to do a game, isn't it?
Yep. See, and I know the broadcasters.
I had not heard that. That's really funny.
I hadn't either. The broadcasters, I understand how they all want to be there, because when you're there, you get to go downstairs, you get to talk to the players, you get more information than you get by just watching the game one day, listening to post-game quotes or post-game Zoom conferences. I understand, especially radio guys. You got more time to fill in the radio, okay?
Yeah.
And so if you're able to get those inside stories. And
You did pre and post last week.
Yeah.
That's what you put in there.
It's like, here, I talked to this guy, and he did this. I talked to this guy after the game last night. He told me about this. Maybe he wasn't on the Zoom call, but you're there. You're able to go down there and talk to him. But, yeah, it's difficult for some doing games that way. I understand that. But, I don't feel I'm losing anything. I don't. I mean, if you disagree, let us know. 312-332-3776.
I think if you have a real pro, calling off a screen and nothing happens, you're not going to notice.
Yeah.
But I'm sure that they are doing a compromised version of the job that they want to do.
Yeah,
they signed up to do.
Yeah.
But I think it's probably more reality now because there is a cost-saving, part of this.
Right. This was a year or two ago, Tyler, but didn't ESPN did a lot of their basketball games from the studios too, didn't they?
Are you talking about
TV and
pre-pandemic?
Yeah.
There was a handful. I know there's some college football games.
Right.
A lot of their Olympic sports, I believe, done.
Well, Jason Benetti's leaving to do baseball for the Olympics in Bristol.
Right.
Right? He's not going to be
or Stanford,
Tokyo.
Connecticut.
Oh,
yeah.
Right.
A lot of the Olympics, I believe, are done that way, too.
Right.
All the production and all of the, even the broadcasts of it, they're all... most of them are done remotely. Like
now, the
that.
Basketball games, going back to that, what was the primary reason behind that? Do we know why that would have happened?
As I'm thinking about it, it might have been basketball games right after COVID was over, because I remember Shulman doing some games from the studio.
Yeah, he would do some games from Charlotte.
Yeah, that's right.
Because that's where the big ESPNU studios are.
Right, and that's what they would do. And they would, but for basketball, I'm sorry, you don't have to be there. I know you're a basketball guy, but don't you could call a game off the screen.
You could, yeah.
As long as you had the screen and there were no technical issues.
Yeah.
Right. And I think that becomes a part of it, because I know that I think networks across the country really ran into, oh, well, the headset operations were different here and there, and you would run into problems that way. But I would say, yeah, probably the easiest to call would be basketball, especially given the replays that
right.
you'd be given.
Right. The toughest part with baseball is when the ball's hit. Because you don't know exactly where it's going.
Right.
Okay?
It could be a line drive to shortstop. It could be a line drive off the left field wall.
Yeah.
You're not sure.
No.
And one of the other things about baseball, too, and I heard this when someone, this was before the pandemic, but this was, they're called Remy broadcasts. This was before when Remy broadcasts were really taking off. But with softball, pitcher starts to struggle. What's the first place you're going to look? You're going to look to the bullpen. Well, when you're not at the game, you can't look at the bullpen.
Right.
Which, that is kind of a big deal there.
Yeah.
So certain sports, it hurts more than others.
Yeah. Well, I think at certain places have cameras in the bullpens, like
yes.
for baseball.
Mm-hmm. And so I think that's something that they've adapted to now right. that it's become a bit more of the mainstream.
Yeah.
You know what I saw yesterday up at American
Family Field?
I'm still not used to that. It's Miller Park.
Yeah.
They had a little scoreboard above out where they're, you know, they're warming up, the bullpens, reaching for that word.
Yeah.
They had a little scoreboard that said Bummer was up and whoever was up for the Brewers.
Yeah,
and
I've
not seen that before.
Years ago they used to. Yeah,
they have that at Wrigley now, too, because you can't see the bullpens anymore.
Right.
Yes.
Yes. Since they're all tucked underneath the wall, but
yeah.
they had that at Wrigley.
But you could definitely see them, especially I had nosebleed seats. You could definitely see the bullpens, but that was just nice to have to glance over, because I would imagine the announcers, that's where they're getting everything. They're not trying to see, okay, who's up, what's the number. If they're not getting in, they're trying to do it visually.
The first year of Miller Park, I was working somewhere and I wanted to go, so I didn't have anybody to go up there with. So I worked one day and then just drove up there on my own
mm-hmm.
and bought a $50 ticket and sat like four rows behind the dugout, the third base dugout, just in the next section towards the outfield, and just had great seats by myself. A great seat, I guess I used to.
Great seat,
a great seat by myself, just so I can enjoy the ballpark and get out there and check it out. And then I'd go in there a couple times after that. I love that park. I think it's great.
Have you been there when the roof is closed?
No, have not. You know, I may have. The second or third time I was there, it might be when the roof is closed.
It was a last-minute decision.
It was open yesterday, though.
Yes, it was.
Yeah.
Last-minute decision to go to the game yesterday, and I'm looking, and I'm like, oh, I should check weather. I'm like, wait a minute. I don't have to worry about that.
No weather concerns.
Well,
yeah. Beauty of the retractable roof. Wouldn't it be nice if we had one of those in town?
It'd be
well,
great.
This is what I was going to say. I'm a Chicago sports fan.
Yeah.
I've never had to even consider
Wouldn't it be nice if all ballparks, all baseball stadiums had retractable roofs? The one in Houston, Seattle's got one too, right?
Well,
Seattle's
you're right. Yeah, that would make sense, right? Because of all the rain.
All the rain. Get. Yeah, it'd be great to have. People go, I like the sunshine. Fine, so do we. But if it's raining, you won't have the game called off.
But Houston closes it because it's hot. That's kind of worse.
So does
Arizona.
Yeah. Arizona.
And both the Florida
I think you
stadiums.
Should play unless there's a condition that stops you from playing.
Yeah,
leave it open.
So basically you're saying there's no reason to spend that much money on needing it six times a year or something like that.
Right. Well, what I'm saying is if you're in Arizona and you're playing ball and it's just hot, you close the roof, knock it off. Wait till it rains.
No, it's too freaking hot.
The heat is not going to stop
till,
the game.
Wait till a team goes to Vegas,
when
it's going to be 115 in the summer.
Absolutely.
When the A's go to Vegas in just a couple of years, Vegas is going to be jumping.
Will they be the Aces?
No, I think they're going to stay the A's. I don't know. We come back. I got Cubs lineup. They play this afternoon against the Diamondbacks. Fred Huebner, also Mark Xander here on ESPN 1000.
You're listening to Fred and Xander. This is Chicago's home for sports.
Live stream ESPN 1000 or take a listen to our other shows on demand. It's the all-new ESPN Chicago app.
We'll rattle off the Cubs lineup to you in just a little bit. Hey, be sure to stop by Mars Cheese Castle today, 2 to 4. See my guy, Adam Abdallah. Great guy. Talk to him about craft beer also. You can
or
hang out with him.
Against the Machine.
Yep, all that stuff. He loves his music. Hang out with him. You'll also have a chance to win tickets to tonight's White Sox game in Milwaukee. That's 2 to 4, Mars Cheese Castle on your way up to Milwaukee today. Now, your main Mercedes isn't going to Milwaukee. He's in Charlotte, and he's playing. But apparently, Hector Gomez has a podcast, I guess. And there's a podcast, and they had a chance to talk to Ozzie Guillen. And Ozzie, the former White Sox skipper, none too happy with what's been going on this week with your main Mercedes.
First of all, you're not Otani.
Sorry.
You're not Abreu. You're not Tim Anderson. You are a cheeseburger kid, fat boy. You're lucky to be in the big league. You're lucky some people got hurt, and you have a great start of the season. And I was saying this for all national media. All you guys just see things and hear things before you connect into it. First of all, you blame Tony La Russa. First of all, Tony La Russa played this kid 200 at-bats after that happened, okay? This kid hit 110 after that happened. The day that he got sent down, I interviewed this kid a couple of days before, and this kid really confused me, okay? So when he told me people pay to watch me play, I didn't even hear those words from Frank Thomas. I didn't hear those words from Jane Thomas.
I think what he's trying to say.
So he is...
He's impassioned.
Uh-huh.
And he's really responding to the whole idea that people have brought this stupid assertion into this, that Tony La Russa was a little too hard on him, so the kid's kind of, having issues with that. And that's not it at all.
And from what we understand, it's not it from Yermin either. I mean, it's a situation where he's in, he is not hitting. You're a player. You're not hitting. You get sent down. You got to deal with it.
And that's the way this game works. It's been working like that for years.
If you're a 28-year-old and you feel that you can do something better, go right ahead. But otherwise...
it's up to you.
Yeah. Otherwise, suck it up, play the game, see if he can get back. And he homered the other day, which was nice to see.
And quit with the attention-grabbing stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's what happens when all of a sudden you go 8-for-8 and you're the talk of Major League Baseball.
Well, yeah, and then you have social media to further your agenda.
But like Ozzie said, he's no Otani. He's no Tim Anderson. He's none of these things. Quickly, lineup for the Cubs as they get ready to go against the Arizona
tour
Diamondbacks.
For a few of those players.
Ortega in center field. Then you've got Bryant hitting second in left field. Baez at short. Rizzo is hitting cleanup. He's hitting like 191 the last month. He's hitting fourth. Contreras behind the plate. Patrick Wisdom at third. Jay Hay is in right field. Nico Horner hitting eighth. And I'm seeing here, what's he got to do to not hit eighth? I mean, he had a nice two-run single yesterday. He got thrown out going to second, trying to stretch it.
But have somebody be traded away?
Maybe. Maybe that's a possibility. Alec Mills will be on the hill for the 120 first pitch at Wrigley Field. We'll be back again tomorrow. I have a lot more stuff. I have my rock poll. We get to talk about Kistery, the two-part documentary on the history of Kiss.
Yes, I was impressed.
And I learned stuff. I learned a lot of stuff, which was cool. Thanks to Tyler Rocky for all of his help, Pat Boyle, and Adam Rittenberg for jumping on in. Thanks for listening on ESPN 1000.